Psalm 27, one of my all-time favorite psalms. And meant to be an encouragement to all of us, God's people. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may break out against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray again. Father, we do pray that you, by the Holy Spirit, bless your word tonight to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for having purchased our redemption for your word and for this psalm of David. We thank you that you are truly our light and our salvation, and we don't need to fear. Help us to understand the idea of waiting. And Father, we just pray that you'd bless and bless your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I think, this is my personal opinion, that waiting on the Lord is one of the hardest things in the Christian life. And tonight we're going to look a little bit about just focusing on verse 14 and some other scripture verses we had read for the scripture call to worship, Psalm 37, which mentioned three times about waiting on the Lord. Actually, in the whole psalm, it says three times. And this little card here, which I hold in my hand, right here, I'm holding in my hand, is a card that was given to me when I was baptized back in May, on May 4th in 1980. So, and it's the verses, Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, wait, I say, on the Lord. So that's probably why that was always a special verse. But it is an important thing in the Christian life to understand, to be able to wait on the Lord. It is only possible for true Christians. All through this psalm, David is trying to encourage himself, I believe, and others, including us in the future, in the Lord, and that we don't have to fear. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry. We can trust the Lord. He uses language that's almost unbelievable. He says, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. That's pretty dramatic and drastic, right? He says, though an army, can you imagine an army encamping against us, a whole army? That would be pretty frightening, right? And David had similar experiences to that. He says, my heart shall not fear, though war may rise against me. A whole war break out just against us. In this I will be confident. And he makes that wonderful statement in verse 4. One thing I have desired. It's so important for us to focus on the most important thing in the Christian life. That one thing is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He says, then I will seek, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's where we find the Lord is in a particular, special way, is in his house, in his with his people, in worship, in true worship. And so it's important for us to desire the beauty, to see the beauty of the Lord more, being more precious to us than ever. But the Christian life is full of times of waiting. And waiting makes us totally dependent on the Lord. Now, whether we realize it or not, guess what? We are totally dependent. The problem is that we forget how totally dependent we are on him. And so that's why this waiting is such an important command. And we had read from Psalm 37. And if we read in Psalm 33, verses 16 through 22, similar ideas here. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. So hope is very similar, this idea of waiting. We wait in faith, of course. Faith is the key to waiting. We wait in faith, and we hope in faith, because it's future. When we're waiting on the Lord, we're waiting for something from him or for something for him to do, and we have hope. That hope is important. Again, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Oh, soul, our souls wait for the Lord. He is our helper and our shield. Our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we have hoped in you. So we patiently wait for the Lord to deliver us, either in salvation initially or all throughout the Christian life. We're in different types of ways that the Lord saves us primarily from ourselves. But we have nothing to fear. Faith is always that which looks to God, looks up to God, and in spite of the circumstances. And in the prophet Habakkuk writes in chapter 2, I can find it real quick here. He says, the just shall live by faith is the title of this section. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end I will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. That waiting there, it says, though it tarries, the Lord oftentimes makes his people wait. When we're praying for something specifically, when we're looking for the Lord to do something, when we're looking for the Lord to bring relief, there's so many circumstances in which the Lord, that waiting, that is key in faith, waiting in faith on the Lord. In many of your translations, they actually have that in the margins. Waiting in faith, it says. And so that's a key. So faith is always looking to God. Now, there's many instances in which we're, especially prayer, that's probably the first thing that comes into your mind, because Christians should always be praying, right? We always are praying for something, for someone, for other people, and the Lord always and only, and every single time we pray for something, he immediately answers, right? No. Sometimes he says no. It's not according to his will, not for his glory or for our good. And he says no. Sometimes he does answer almost immediately. especially emergency type prayers. Lord, save me, and the Lord delivers us in some amazing way, a miraculous way even. But oftentimes, particularly when we're in prayer, when we're faithfully praying, the Lord doesn't work according to our timetable. The Lord's timetable is different. He's eternal, and He's got the big picture. We can only see the immediate, and we see our desperate need, and we want the Lord to answer when we want Him to answer, and to give the answer or to do what we want Him to do right away, right? And if He doesn't, then sometimes we think He's failed us, or He doesn't care, or maybe I'm not saved, or on and on are the things that pop into our minds. And sometimes that waiting is long. We're called to watch and to wait in faith, to pray in faith, to watch and to wait, trusting that God will work. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths, but maybe not right away. Maybe the unfolding of His providence will take some time. Maybe we'll have to just stand still. Now, one of the keys to understanding waiting, this is very important, and we read it in Psalm 37, is patience. Patience, waiting. Waiting, patient. Patiently waiting. You know, children never have a problem, do you, children, to wait patiently for something. I know you're just so good at that. You're not? Parents, the children are not good at patiently waiting? No, they aren't. And oftentimes we are just worse than them, only in a bigger way, their ways, they can't wait for dinner, they can't wait to get somewhere, you know, are we there yet? Or wait, you know, often parents are telling their children to wait, you just have to wait, you know, not going to get it right away. But we're the same way. And so we need patience. One of the graces that God works, the fruit of the Spirit, is patience. We wait patiently. We hope in the Lord. Again, it's a future thing. And one of the keys to that, the way that it glorifies God is by not murmuring or fretting. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. It's the same theme as Psalm 27 and other psalms. There's enemies there. There's the wicked in the world that we see prospering, and sometimes it causes us to stumble, right? We're suffering. We're going without, and there every need is met. It's like, you know, they got everything they want, and it seems like things are upside down. And we fret, we worry, and when we don't see the Lord answering in our case, but we need patience. We desperately need patience to rest in Him and to wait on Him. And this is a key to understanding what waiting on the Lord is. We need patience. Not murmuring, not grumbling or complaining, right? It says that in Philippians. Do everything without grumbling or complaining. And I'll never forget, years ago, I learned from Mike Gadosh about that word, gugumondos. It's a word, anamanapia, word that sounds like what it is, grumbling. Do not grumble. And so that's what we do. We complain to others, right? And we complain to the Lord. Dissatisfied, discontentment. God doesn't always work immediately. He knows best, right? He knows best. We become anxious. We become worried. We become complaining and dissatisfied. But God knows best. And the key to waiting patiently and to waiting in general is to understand, truly believe in the sovereignty of God. That is key. If you believe that God, don't believe God is sovereign, and understand that not a sparrow falls to the ground, not a hair of our head comes off apart from the Lord. God is in control of everything, and He works particularly in for good for His people in providence. God created the world, and He's made us, and He's put us here, and He saved us. but His providence unfolds in a life. And oftentimes we cannot know what God is doing. We do not know, but He, trusting Him, is where we know, we see He knows best. And we can suffer for a while. We can be in the dark for a while, for a long while. And what should we do? Well, our nature says, human nature says, grumble, complain, become dissatisfied, discouraged, depressed, whatever. But we're to work and to labor on and to not become discouraged. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. But beloved, we are confident of better things, after He had given those warnings in chapter 6. Better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown towards His name, in that you have ministered to His saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, waiting, persevering, patiently, trusting the Lord, that you do not become sluggish or lazy, right? You don't give up. You don't stop fighting. You don't exit the battle. You don't stop in the race in the middle of the run. You persevere. Don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Again, faith and patience, waiting on the Lord, persevering to the end. It's so important. So, and how are we to do it? We're to do it obediently. We're to wait in obedience. And what does that mean? Well, we're to wait trusting in His word and obeying, seeking to follow on, though we're not sure what the Lord is doing, but we have responsibilities in the Christian life. It's not to complain and to worry and to fret. It's to serve the Lord and to obey the Lord. We heard this morning about the blessings of obedience and in our walk with the Lord. We're to show the Lord we love Him through our obedience, right? And we love Him because He first loved us. Again, these are things, if you're outside of Christ, can't do, right? But being in Christ, united to Christ, we can do. And so we can obey, we can follow His word. And we truly do not appreciate how blessed we are, not only to have the word of God, right, the whole Bible, but to have the Holy Spirit to open our minds, to illuminate the word. Christ being our prophet, He teaches us. He's committed Himself to teaching His people, to being their prophet, our prophet and priest and king, of course, but our prophet. He said, He promised to Moses that He would raise up a prophet for God's people. And that prophet was the Lord, ultimately. No, it was not Moses, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the true prophet of God. And so we have His word. We can wait on Him. We can trust Him in His word. We can be encouraged through the word. And we can continue to obey, right? To listen to His word. And when we don't know what we're to do, what should we do? Should we just do anything? No, we're to wait. Wait on the Lord until His will becomes clear. And eventually, His promise to lead His people, but mainly through the Word of God. And it's so important. People today are so tied in with the immediate that they'll imagine things like they're waiting, they're going to hear a voice from heaven, which is nonsense and certainly inferior totally to the Word of God. Even if we heard a voice from heaven, like they did on the Mount Transfiguration, this is a more sure word. We have God's Word. We have the Spirit of God, specifically who uses the Word of God, shows us Christ, shows us what we need. But there are times when we're in darkness and we don't really understand His word, but we're not to jump ahead. We're not to do our own thing. We're not to give up. In Isaiah chapter 8, God's people were prone to that, prone to disregarding the word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, every command. The Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, both to both the houses of Israel. And many among them shall stumble, and they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Bind up, rather, he says, bind up the testimony, the word of God, bind it up. Seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait on the Lord. Who hides his face from the house of Jacob? I will hope in him. Here I am, the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel, the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. It's the word of God and the waiting on the Lord, the word of waiting on the Lord, even when he hides his face. Does the Lord ever hide his face from his people? Does he? Does he? Yes, he does. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Christ in particular gives that promise, and it's true promise. And God will never ultimately leave his people. But there are times, either because we need discipline or because he wants us, just for his own reason, wants to draw us closer to him. We don't always know the reason, but he who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. I will wait on the Lord. He who hides his face, and we're not to do anything until we have clear direction from the Lord, either in his providence or directly from his word or with godly counselors. Stand still. Don't jump ahead of the Lord. And that's particularly highlighted here in Isaiah 50, one of my favorite sections of scripture about the importance of the word of God and knowing the will, Lord's will. He says, who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Well, who does that describe? Somebody who fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant, Christ. That's Christ's voice, right, in his word. And yet, it says, who walks in darkness and has no light. So God's people, at times, are in that valley of the shadow of death. They're in darkness because God's providence, his working in them for some particular reason. They can't see any light. They can't sense the presence of the Lord. They have to walk by faith, even in that dark time. Who walks in darkness and has no light? How can a servant of the Lord, who's someone who's listening to the voice of the servant and fearing God, be in darkness? Well, not ultimate darkness, but it can feel like it and has no light. And then he says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the name of the Lord. Rely even in the dark times. Don't go your own way. He says, look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. That doesn't sound good. The idea of making our own sparks is turning to something else beside the Lord. You're in darkness. You don't know where to go. And so you go your own way. You make up another god. You do something sinful. Oftentimes the people of God, sadly, we sin when we don't know what the Lord's will. We try something, maybe something that we know is sinful, to try to relieve the suffering or pain or whatever. Or, you know, sadly, some people go after a god of their own imagination. They forsake the Lord, but not God's true people. So it's important to follow God and his word, to wait on him through his word. And it's a joyful wait. God desires his people to be joyful. We can wait in joy and joyful anticipation that we know God is good and he's going to bring relief. If it's not in our lifetime, if we wait patiently, maybe it's at the end of our life. Maybe the promise is like inheriting the earth is heaven and glory. But oftentimes we do see the goodness of the Lord, as it says, in the land of the living. In heaven, of course, but even in this world, right? Have anybody here never seen the goodness of the Lord for you in your life and in this land? Of course you have. We all have, and we're blessed, and ultimate goodness and blessing and all the light and truth will be in glory. But even now, and of course, again, in prayer, looking in faith with prayer, persistent and persevering in prayer. How often does God's word call us to pray, not only pray in faith, right, but then continue to pray, right? Ask and you shall receive. Keep asking. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so the repetitiveness, the parable that Jesus talked of, the widow who kept going to the judge, the unjust judge, and kept going. It's to encourage us to persist in prayer. Because again, God is not on our timetable. He may make us wait and may be long, and we can't become discouraged, despair, but we need to pray, continue to pray. And in our tribulations, we need, and trials, we desperately need to wait on the Lord. It has so much the idea to trusting the Lord, believing in His promises, believing that the Lord is good, and patiently waiting, joyfully. We can have joy in that waiting because we know the Lord is true. In one of the more amazing psalms, not that every psalm isn't amazing, but this is one of the more amazing psalms, is Psalm 130. And I'm sure you'll recognize this when I say it. But it says, it's one of the songs of ascent to the people of God going up to Jerusalem. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. What a heart cry for the Lord. Out of the depths I have cried to you. So God's people are in the depths of despair, the depths of dissatisfaction, the depths of not knowing where the Lord is or where He's hiding His face. We're in darkness. Out of the depths, Lord, hear my voice. We cry out to the Lord. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. We know that that's prayer. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, who could stand? None of us. And that comes to our mind when we're praying, right? We don't pray with this attitude, well, you know, we've had a good day, so now we can pray. we never have that good of a day. And so it's all by God's grace and all through the mediation of Christ and His merits that we can pray and be heard. But He says, if you should mark iniquity or sins, who could stand? None of us. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. God forgives His people. If you're here tonight, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are not forgiven. And you are in your sins, and the consequences of that is no relationship with God, strangers from God's promises, outside of Christ, without hope in this world, or especially, more importantly, in the next. If that's your condition, read this psalm. Because if the Lord marks your iniquity, then you can't stand today or especially in the day of judgment. But there is forgiveness for all and any sin through the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. No matter what we could think, say, do, have done, will do, the blood of Christ, it's a fountain filled with blood where we plunge ourselves in and He cleanses us and forgives us. And justification is just as if we'd not sinned at all, and just as if we'd obeyed every single commandment of God. Christ gives us His obedience, His righteousness, and based on His obedience, and He forgives and cleanses us from sin. He goes on to say, the psalmist, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In His word do I hope. It's a soul thing, it's not a physical thing. It's a soul. We wait in our souls. We wait and we look into His word. We hope, the hope that the word of God gives us. It says, more my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. We think of if you're suffering in pain and agony, one of the things, you get through the night, you can see the little glimpse of the sunrise and it makes you feel better because you know the day is coming and things hopefully will get better, or somebody who's on guard duty through the military, right? Watching through the whole night, just waiting till they get relieved in the morning or there's light in that darkness. More than those, the psalmist is saying, he waits for the Lord. His soul waits. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquity. And there he's speaking of the true Israel, the people of God, the true Israel, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. But waiting on the Lord so important in our trials and deep despair and lamentations. We ought to cry out to the Lord, and in our distresses, the Lord hears us. One of the more encouraging verses in Lamentations. Lamentations is God's people lamenting the suffering they're going through. The whole book, it's written by Jeremiah, and it's the Lamentations of Jeremiah here. But one of the verses we like is in chapter 3. It says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. God's people suffer, and sometimes we suffer long. But the whole idea of waiting on the Lord is to trust in him, to hope in him, to eventually he will bring relief. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Sovereignty of God. God has brought this affliction on us for our good. He's afflicted us so that we'll trust him more, so that we'll seek him more, so that we'll come to him more, and we'll learn the lessons we need to learn. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him. Speaking there, reminiscent of Christ, and be full of reproach. For the Lord has not cast off forever, will not cast off forever, though he causes grief. Who causes the grief? It says, for the Lord will not cast off forever, though he causes grief. Yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. But he does not afflict willingly. He doesn't, nor grieve the children of men, to crush ones under one's feet, all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside justice due for man, and on. But the idea there is, even in our deep afflictions and trials, we need to wait on the Lord and trust in him and wait patiently in faith on him. Just again to sum from Psalm 27, all these things, all the enemies we have are none for the Lord, but oftentimes, in order to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, we need to learn how to wait. Hardest thing to do in the Christian life is to wait on the Lord. Wait on him patiently. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. It's a heart issue. It's a soul issue. We need to take those words to heart. He repeats it twice in the same verse. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, your good word, and for the blessings that we get through your word, Father, and especially because of the faith that you've given us and because of the precious, precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we would grow in our desire to be more like Christ. We pray that we would desire and have more of the, in more abundance, the fruits of the Spirit bearing fruit, because we're abiding in Christ and drawing, staying near to him in his word and in prayer and by your Spirit. We thank you. We can trust you. And we thank you. We can hope in you, knowing that you're sovereign and good. And even in our darkest, darkest times, we can trust you and know that there's light. The dawn will come. You will bring us through the other side. We thank you. We can get patience and wait on you. And Father, we're just thankful and praise and thank you for your goodness and for your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.